Good morning, everybody. I think I have to introduce our shiur again, as I have done for the last few weeks. We are still in chapter 17. However, as I said last week, whatever we're going to say in chapter 17 is going to pave the way for an understanding of David and Shaul, so that we will make references to other parts of Sefer Shmuel. We learned last week the story that David tells Shaul. David tells Shaul about the sheep that was taken from the corral by the lion and the bear, and the struggle, the battle that David fought with the lion and the bear and destroyed them both, and therefore nothing to fear from this Plishti, this Philistine. We started last week what I described as the two dimensions of David. The dimension of David as a shepherd, and that was really the last week's shiur. We described through Tanakh the significance and the meaning of a shepherd, and that Moshe Rabbeinu became a leader because God tested him. How did he treat his sheep? And that God himself is Hashem Ro'i, God is my shepherd, lo echzer, I will not want. We went through the Pesukim in Yecheskel that deal with the shepherd. It was all based on the Pasuk 34. Pasuk 34, which is the introduction to the story, Vayomer David el Shaul, David said to Shaul, Ro'eh haya avdechol aviv batzon. Your servant was a shepherd to his father with the sheep. That's part one of the Pasuk, which talks about David the shepherd. And that was what we discussed last week. But the second half of the Pasuk is describing a second dimension of David, a different face of David, and that is Ubo ha'ari vet ha'dov v'nasoseh me'ha'edah. The ari and the dove, the lion and the bear, came and took the sheep from the flock. So there we're going to see a new dimension of David, and that is David who is as mighty or mightier than the lion. On the one hand, the first part of the Pasuk describes the delicate nature of David, his warmth, his care, his concern. The second half of the Pasuk describes the courage, the bravery, even the stubbornness, the strength of David. If David was described in the last parak as Yodea Nagain, the one who knows how to play the harp, and Ish Milchoma, a man of war, if he was originally described when he came before Shmuel as Admoni, the one who is red like Esav, in Yifei Einayim, with beautiful eyes, that means there are two faces to David, there are two dimensions to David. One is the David who is Yodea Nagain, who knows how to play on the harp. That represents a delicate, sensitive, warm, deep David. And then there is the outer core of a David, which is Admoni, red. He has great strength in him. He is Ish Milchama. He is a man of war. He is the one who will rise like a lion. That's the one that Yaakov describes as mighty and roars like the lion. So we describe one part, David says to Shaul, Ro'eh hoya avdecha la'aviv batzon, shepherd, and then the mighty warrior. On this pasuk, one final comment. I tried to get it in at the end of the shiur last week, but I don't think I did it justice. On this pasuk it says, Ubo ha'ari vet ha'dov v'nososeh me'ha'eder. Nososeh me'ha'eder. It seems that in the Tanakh of the Vilna Gaon, the word was written not seh, but was written zeh, this. We don't have There is some kind of a mark here in my Navi, but the fact is, it's in most of our Sforim, it is written and spelled Seh. It seems that in the Tanakh of the Vilna Gaon, it said Zeh. Says the Vilna Gaon the following: V'nei haktiv hu Zeh. It's spelled Zeh, but it is read Zeh. Halo davar hu. This means something. There must be some meaning to this. Says the Vilna Gaon the following: when David saw that a miracle happened to him because of this Seh, that this Seh was that which caused the miracle to come later, that he was, because of this Seh, he was given the strength to overcome the lion and the bear. So when his struggle was over, he slaughtered this Seh, removed its skin, and he made a garment from it. He would always wear the garment made of that lamb's skin, so that he should always remember the miracle. He wore a coat or a jacket or a sweater that was made from that lamb's wool. Out came, therefore, says the Vilna Gaon, you read the word Seh, but it is spelled Zeh. David showed Zeh, you see this garment that I'm wearing? This was made from that Shepsala, from that lamb. He said, when he said to Shol, Venosa, Seh Meha'eder, in Pasuk 34, the lion and the bear took a Seh from the flock, he said to Shol, Venosa, Zeh, he took this he took from the flock. V'aktiv hu Zeh. So the spelling is Zeh. It is read Seh, because the truth is he was talking about the Seh. So I saw somebody made a fascinating comment, and this was the point that we were trying to make at the end of last week. He could have made a garment out of the lion skin or the bear skin, but he didn't make it out of the lion or the bear skin, because that would in a sense have been David saying, you know, the fellow who goes out to hunt and he brings the head of the deer, and he hangs it up over his fireplace. That would be an expression of one's conceit. Gaiva, look what I was able to do in the Ari and the dove. But that's not what David was saying. What David was saying is, because of this lamb, this Shepsala, a miracle was done to me. The humility of David is what emerges from this pasuk. All right, but we're going to talk more about the humility of... we're going to talk about more about the humility, but now we're going to take the second dimension of David. The second dimension of David is the lion, the strong and the mighty one. Yaakov Avinu in Parashat Vayechi says, Gur Aryeh Yehuda, a young lion is Yehuda. Miterev b'ni Alita, you rose over the attempt to destroy my son. Kora Ravatz Aryeh, Yehuda is able to bow and sort of lie down like the lion. Uchelavi, and when he rises, me Kimenu, who will be able to stop him? Rashi on that pasuk says, Al David nitnaba, Yaakov was prophesying about David. Betchila gur, at the beginning he's going to be like the young lion, but that young lion is going to become Aryeh. How is he described over here in this chapter? Shaul describes him as a nar. This nar is now going to become, this young one, the gur, the whelp, is going to become a mighty lion. The whole story of the Ari and the Dove has to be understood in light of something that is written, an idea that is expressed by the Akedat Yitzchak, Reb Yitzchak Aroma, one of the early Mefarshim of Torah. And he says like this:
It is one of the miracles of nature, and one of the very roots of creation, that whatever comes last or next in line in creation is greater, stronger, and more dominant than the one that preceded it. I'd say about 100 or 200 years before Darwin, what he is talking about is that if you follow the order of creation in Torah, you're going to find that creation moves from the lower to the higher. First, it's the basic elements, water and earth, and then there's going to be grass, and then there are going to be trees, and then will come birds and fish, until we come to the mammals, and then the last is man. So he says one of the roots and one of the miracles of creation, one of the what is built into nature, is that whatever is later in the act of creation is dominant and stronger than that which preceded it. And this is something that is amazing. Kamo Shama, as Rabbi Yehuda Rav Simon said, Kol Mashe Nivra Acha Chaveiro Shalid B'Chaveiro. Whatever comes after the one before rules over the one that precedes it. Which means what emerges from all of this, therefore, is that all of creation should by nature be subdued or be overtaken by man. Ultimately, man, therefore, being the crown of creation, is the one who will be able to rule over all of creation, because he's the last. Parenthetically, of course, one must comment, if the Arkadat Yitzchak, what the Arkadat Yitzchak is saying is true, then who is the crown of creation? Woman, because she comes after man. They were not an act of creation of God. Children were created by Adam and Chava, but Adam and Chava were created by God. But instead, the Arkadat Yitzchak doesn't say this, but I have seen this said by other thinkers, and this is, you know, obviously women look at this as some kind of a male chauvinist kind of condescending remark. Does he really believe that to be true? He's just saying it because he knows it's going to get a smile out of us. I'm not going to comment any further. All right. No. I'm talking about not the Akedah, a book entitled Akedat Yitzchak. Because it was written by, that's why I said written by Rabbi Yitzchak Arama. Okay. Now, what therefore means is that it is within the nature of things that man should be mightier than the beast. So what went wrong? What does God say in Bereshit? Vayomer Elokim, God said, Nase Odo B'Tzalmeinu, let us make a man in our in image, Kidvuteinu, in our form. V'yirdu b'degat hayam, and let him rule over the fish of the sea, u'ba'of hashamayim, the fowl of the heaven, u'bebehema, the animal, u'bechol ha'aretz, u'bechol hademes haromeis alaretz. Man, God creates him to rule over them all. V'yirdu, they should rule over. The word v'yirdu can be understood in one of two ways. Yirdu can mean to rule over, or yirdu can also be read yirdu, they will go down below all of creation. Which means it depends on man's choice. If man is able to maintain his spiritual majesty, then it was in the order of creation that man should rule over the animals. Zohar, if man is worthy, rode b'chayot, he is the one who's going to rule over the beasts, u'bamehemot, and the animals. Lo zocha, if he is unworthy, nase yorud, he is made lower than them. The hachaya sholetet bo, Rashi says this in Bereshit, and the beast will be able to rule over him. The Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim says, as it says by men, uredu b'dgat hayam, on this pasuk, she'ein imyano lekach, says the Rambam, it's not that God created man. When we read the pasuk says, let us make a man in our shape and our image, and we could read it, and he should rule over the Uredu ubidgatagon, and he shall rule, or vigirdu, which would seem to leave the impression as though God created man in order to rule over them. Says the Rambam in the Guide for the Perplexed, no, that's not what the meaning is. And it doesn't come to tell us that this is his purpose. Rak higid tivo, the Pasuk is telling us the nature of this man that was created by God. Let us make a man in our form and our image, and just like everything in the world stands powerless and frightened before God, this creature, man, who is created in the image of God, therefore it is within his nature that he should rule over the over the rest of creation. Not that God created man, go out there and rule over creation. Rak higit tivo, the Pasuk is telling us his nature, asher hidbio Hashem yit'ala alav, that God implanted within man that he should be able to rule over nature. Therefore, the Akedat Yitzchak continues on by saying, if that's man, then it means that in every generation there have to be some human beings that still retain the greatness of first man. Bechol dor v'dor, there are anashim ulim, very special and unique men that still retain the form and the shape that God gave to Adam. And therefore, nature is going to be subservient to these people. And in fact, that was the covenant that God entered into with Noah. When he said, V'hakimoti et briti, I'm going to make a covenant with you. What was the covenant that God made with Noah? That all of creation is going to come into the Teva, and he will not be destroyed by them. He's going to have to spend a year with lions and tigers and elephants and race. How is he going to survive? Because Noah retains that dimension of spirituality that Adam had. And therefore, that covenant that I made with first man, I'm going to make that covenant with you, Noah. Don't be frightened that something is going to happen to you while you are in the Teva. Shamru, those people who kept and retained their spiritual dimension, no animal was able to cause them any harm. This is precisely what happens to somebody else. To whom else does this happen? Daniel, when he is in the lion's den. This also is said by the Akedat Yitzchak. This nature, that's exactly what Daniel tells Darius, who throws him into the lion's den. He says, Elokai shalach malachei, God sent his messengers, Usgor pum ar yevosa, close the mouths of the lions, velo chibluni, and they did not cause me any harm. Why didn't they cause me any harm? Because Daniel represents the form, the pristine and natural form of man, unchanged, remaining spiritually great, and therefore the animals are afraid of him. Yes? Words in a Rabban that are going to deepen this, that ultimately we're going to understand David. The Ramban says, in Parashat Chukotai, it says that if you will follow my commandments, there will be peace in the land. V'hishbati chayo ro'o min ha'aretz. And I will destroy evil beasts from the land. Says the Ramban that Reb Shimon the Tanna said, Majbiton shelo yaziku, God removes them, not meaning that he removes them from the world, not that he's going to destroy the beasts, but shelo yaziku, the beasts are not going to cause any harm. V'hu hanachon, and that's the correct pshat. Ki tihye eretz Yisrael be'et kiyuma mitzvot, eretz Yisrael, at the time that Jews fulfill mitzvot, eretz Yisrael is going to be what the world was at its very beginning. A Jew's living in Eretz Yisrael, fulfilling mitzvahs, it's going to be Gan Eden-like. And just as there, the beasts were not able to cause harm, so too they will not cause harm in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, the eighth kiyum mitzvot, Eretz Yisrael, at the time that mitzvot are fulfilled, will be like the world was mitchilato, at the very beginning, kodem chet Adam Arishon, before the sin of first man. Ein chayo v'remes meimit Adam, no beast and no creepy
Kriya will be able to kill men. Where else do we have a description like that? In famous chapter 11 of Yeshayahu. Chapter 11 of Yeshayahu describes the ultimate descendant of the house of David, who's going to be Mashiach ben David. What is the description of the world at the time of Mashiach? Vishyasha yonek al chur peten. A nursing child is going to be able to play by the hole where a deadly snake is there. Lo yoreyu v'lo yashchitu b'chol har kotshi, there will be no evil nor destruction upon my holy mountain. Umola ha'aretz deyot Hashem, the world is going to be full of the knowledge of God. V'al kein, Amar Katuv, says the Ramban, therefore the Pasuk says about the days of the Redeemer who comes from the house of Yishai, that there will again be peace in the world. Real peace is going to come in the days of Mashiach. V'yechdal ha'teref, the destruction of human beings is going to stop. The one who's going to bring that about is going to be Mashiach, who's going to come. And therefore, another pasuk in Bereshit. The pasuk in Bereshit says, "Umorachem v'chitchem, fear of you, your terror is going to be upon the beasts of the field." Man, if he is truly tzaddik, rules over the beasts of the field. And therefore, in Sefer Devarim, this is an important pasuk. Lo yitzev ish b'fnechem, God says, no man shall stand before you. Pardechem umarachem, your terror and your fear of you and terror of you. Yitein Hashem elokeichem, God will give out p'nei kol ha'aretz asher tidrechu bo, wherever you set foot, the earth will be frightened and tremble from before you. Says the Akedat Yitzchak that that's exactly now what David is going to say to the Plishti. And he's saying it to Shaul. He begins by saying it to Shaul. What does he say? Vayomer David, David said, Hashem, Pasuk 37, Hashem God asher hitzilani miyad huari umiyad hadov hu yatzileni miyad haplishti hazeh. God who saved me from the hands of the lion and the bear, he is the one who's going to save me from this plishti. Why? You will recall, David was supposed to have been stillborn. Where did he get 70 years of life? He got 70 years of life from first man. David, in this sense, represents the spiritual dimension of first man. First man who was created by God, Kidmutenu, the Tzalmenu Kidmutenu, is the one that the beasts of the field are frightened before him. David retains that pristine and natural greatness. And therefore that same David, whose life was given to him by Adam, is the one who is able to stand before the Ari and the Dove, and the original promise that was made at creation, what should be the normal order of things, that whatever precedes man in creation is subservient to man. For David, that's true. So therefore to him, he sees that what's taking place over here is not a matter of his great courage and his great strength. What happens, as far as David is concerned, is part of the natural order of things as created by God. It is therefore God who saves him from the hand of the Avi and the hand of the dove.
Where do we learn that David was supposed to be?
There's a medrash. We learned the medrash a few weeks ago, where the medrash says that God showed Adam Harishon all of the generations to come. And you know, as he's going through the time frames, he comes to this fellow David, who's supposed to live 3 hours. And he says, isn't there anything that we can do? So he asks God, how long am I going to live? So God tells him, you're going to live 1,000 years. So he said, I donate 70. The truth is that there's another medrash, I didn't learn that medrash, that Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, together with Adam, all donated a number of years. In other words, there was a united David appeal. And everybody, they make a calculation of how many years, so to speak, Avram was supposed to live, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and each one of them donated a number of years. But there's another medrash that says that all of his 70 years were given to him by Adam Harishon.
Did David tell this?
No. No, he was confident. But as we explained last week, David himself doesn't even know what got into him that he should rise up against the Ari and the Dove. It was an act of madness. The truth is, it was an act of madness. But there is something that compels him to do it. And he didn't understand at the time. Why did he do it? He didn't understand at the time. When does he understand it? He understands it now, as I tried to explain last week, that he... You remember we talked about songs? Remember we talked about songs? A song from the 50s. A Jewish song from the 50s. Right. You hear the song. Doesn't it bring back... aren't there associations and feelings of the time? Right? Okay? We all have that experience. Certain songs, certain sights, certain smells bring back certain associations. There was a feeling that overcame David at the moment that he rose up against the lion and the bear. And now as he's standing talking before Shaul, that same feeling is overcoming him, and all of a sudden he realizes, oi, now I know what happened then. There's something very special that's happening to him. It was not a conscious act on David's part that he's going to go out and just tear this lion apart. Common sense, intelligence would have said, you have the Shepshalah, you save the sheep, run! But no! He's attacked by the Ari and the Dove, and he grabs him by the beard. Now, grabbing him by the beard is it's an act of madness.
Why would any of them do it?
There I can only say the Medrash. The Medrash says that Eliyahu was an angry person. You know, there are people who are angry people. I don't know, you know, I don't want to become an amateur psychologist and begin to say that, well, Eliyahu was aware of the fact that this David has streaks of greatness and he's number 7 in line and, you know, the jealousy of an older brother for a younger brother, you know, that's, I leave that for other people to deal with. Mara says that he was an angry man. Anyway, I always tell you that we have to be aware of words. There's a word now that I want to bring to your attention. At the in Pasuk 16, when it describes Goliath going out to speak to the Jewish camp, it says, "Vayikach haplishti hashkein v'harev." The plishti came morning and evening. Vayityatzev arba'im yom. Vayityatzev. He sort of stationed himself 40 days. You remember, just a few moments ago, I quoted a pasuk in Devarim, "Lo yit yatsev, lo yit yatsev ish bifnechem." No man, God promises, no man shall stand before you. Nothing will stand before you. So here we have the one who carries the guarantee, the promise, "Lo yit yatsev ish bifnechem," is David. And who is he going to stand up against now? The one who is mit yatsev. David is going to stand up. Let's go. So what we've done meanwhile is we have described the second dimension of David. David is not only the gentle, sweet singer of Israel, the one who plays the harp, the one who takes care of the sheep, the gentle, gentle soul. He also has within himself great courage and great strength. And this strength comes because he in some way is similar to first man. Who hasn't been spoiled and hasn't been tainted by the world. Because by nature, that which comes last in creation should be stronger and be able to overpower that which precedes it. Alright, so now he's ready to go out. What does Shaul Vayomesh? Pasuk 37. Vayomer David Hashem Asher Hitzilani Miyad Vari Umiyad Adov Hu Yatzileini Miyad HaPlishti Hazeh. Vayomer Shaul El David. Shaul said to David, "Leich, go. VaHashem Yihyeh Imach," and God will be with you. And does Shaul know what he's saying when he says VaHashem Yihyeh Imach? Why is there a space in the pasuk? All right, I thought I would talk about that, but it's simple. I think it's simple.
I think it's simple. The space of the pasuk is in order to draw attention to the two halves of this pasuk. Because what's really happening in the two halves of this pasuk, this is the moment at which the torch is being passed. David doesn't know it and Shaul doesn't know it, but this is the moment at which the torch is being passed from Shaul to David. What are the words that Shaul says to David? Leich go, Vashem yeimach. What should that remind you? What should that remind you of? How Doeg describes David, Vashem imo. God is with him. I think that Shaul himself may not be aware of what he is saying here. All right. So, in this pasuk, we have Shaul and David facing one another. What's really happening over here is that David and Shaul are finally coming face to face, but under different circumstances. What were the circumstances under which David and Shaul had met before? David had met Shaul in what guise in the past? The one who comforts him, the one who plays the harp. Shaul is aware of one of the two dimensions of David. He's not aware of the second. It's only now in this passage that he becomes aware of the second. He had seen him as, how was he described by Doeg again? Yodea Nagain, one who knows how to play the harp, the Ish Milchom, and men of war. What was the relationship between David and Shaul up until that point? The relationship of Yodea Nagain, the one who knows how to play. Now all of a sudden, Shaul sees David not merely as the one who knows how to play the harp, but he sees him now as the man of war. It means, therefore, that for the second time, what was the word that you just used, B? Comforter, huh? Comforter. Shaul knew David as the one who comforts him. When the evil spirit, the bad spirit of God descends upon him, David begins to play and things become easier for Shaul. For 40 days now, the tension in Shaul has been rising. Day after day, Goliath comes out and he shames the Jewish people. Shaul knows that he is ultimately the one who has to bear the responsibility for this. He can't go out to war. He can't do it. And he knows that all of Israel is waiting to see what will Shaul do. And it's the last day. The deadline is up. It's all over. And who is the one that comes to comfort? Who all of a sudden makes it easier for Shaul? The one who makes it easier for Shaul is David. David is now, the comforter of Shaul. But he's not the comforter who plays the harp. He is the comforter now who is going to go out. He's the warrior, the Ish Milchama. Yes? Did I use a bad word? A ruach ra. God. Yes, I said God. There was a pasuk in the last chapter that there was an evil spirit of God or a form of punishment or test that descended upon Shaul and made Shaul sad, melancholy, frightened. But we yes. All right. So here it is. David is sent today to save, really, to save Shaul. So here it is. This is the one who God is with him. So we already learned the psukim that come now. Vayal beShaul. Let's read the psukim again and a few other comments. Vayal beShaul at David Madov. Shaul is the one who he clothed David with his uniform. V'nasan kovin achoshes al roshav. Vayal beShaul to Shivyoni put the copper helmet upon his head and the coat of mail. Vayachad David es charbo mi'alamadav, and David placed his sword above the uniform. Vayo el olechet. I'll at least at this point translate it, and then we'll have to talk about it for a moment. Vayo el olechet. What does vayo el mean? What is your English? Your English must say he tried to. And he tried to walk. He tried to go with it. Kilo nisa. What's the English term? He essayed to go. But that means it had better mean to try. he essayed to go, and what's the rest say?
For he had not proved it.
But I never understand the Hebrew if I have to learn it from the English. Not a chance.
Well,
this nishfashtanim. Now you know what you're doing? You're learning pshat in the English. You can't do that. We have to learn pshat in the Hebrew. Rashi brings two pshatim on by Yoel. One pshat is Tirgam Yonatan. Yonatan ben Uziel, the Targum, says, V'lo ovo lemezol. Lo ovo lemezol means he didn't want to go. And Rashi makes a very important comment. You have to be aware there are a number of Rashis like this in Tanakh. Yesh tevot mishamshot lashon v'chilufo. There are words that can mean one thing and its precise opposite. Strange thing that you have in Hebrew, that there are words that shoresh is means something that is rooted, right? Deep root, shoresh. Shedesh means to uproot. You know where we had another Rashi like that, and we mentioned it. Where by Leah? That Eine Leah Rakot. Either beautiful, no. What I was thinking of is when Yaakov has that nocturnal struggle with the strange man, the Malach, the mysterious man. So it says that toward morning he hid him and Vateka Kaf Raglo. His hip or his thigh really was dislocated. And the word there is Teka. Now, Teka also means in Hebrew, in Tanakh, precisely the opposite. A pasuk in Yeshayo, utikatim, and I will make them solid in the ground, kiyateid ne'eman, like a firm spike into the ground. Taka means to put something in its place, and teka means to remove it from its place. So here, the word vayoel can mean something and its exact opposite. And here Rashi brings Misa'if Pu'ara in Yeshayahu and Vishayr Sheikh Meir Tzachayim. What is it about Vayoel? Where do we have the word Vayoel? Vayoel Moshe. When Moshe saves Tzipora and her sisters, so they invite him into the house, it says Vayoel Moshe Lo Shevet Et Ho'ish. And Moshe wanted to stay with Yitro. Vayoel Moshe, he wanted. So the Vayoel, that's why Rashi points out that the Vayoel means that he wanted to. But the Targum Yonatan says, Vayoel, he didn't want to. So Rashi has to explain that the word can mean one thing and its opposite. Now, how are we going to understand the two pshat in this pasuk? Let's read it the way the Targum reads it. Vayoel lolechet, he didn't want to go, kilo nisa, because he wasn't used to it. That sounds good. What happens if we're going to learn vayoel with its normal meaning, and he wanted to go? How are we going to read the next few words? He wanted to go because he wasn't tested or he wasn't proven?
But.
Huh?
But.
So you'd have to say, but. That's not a... It's not as smooth. In other words, the Targum Yonatan is the smoother translation. He didn't go, or he didn't go because he couldn't. If we're going to learn by Yoel, he wanted to go, then it's going to be a bit difficult to explain the kilo nisa because he had not been tested. He wanted to, but he hadn't. Whenever we have a word that is sort of ambivalent, that could be understood in one of two ways, then we have to understand that the Navi indeed wants us to understand that there are meanings on both levels. It means both things, and we have to see both meanings in the positive. And here, this brings us back to a Maimah Chazal, I think, that we mentioned 2 weeks ago. It's a Gemara in Yevamos, and it's a Medrash. It appears in a number of places. It says, "Kivon shehilbish the god of hilbish or the god of when Shaul put the garments of David upon him." Remember, we asked the question: how did it occur to Shaul for a moment that David would be able to wear the garments of the tallest man in Israel? The picture that we get of David, it may not be a correct picture, but the picture that we have in our minds of David is a small fellow, right? Certainly, because we always have in our mind the picture of David and Goliath, saying, "He's a little guy." The picture that we have of Shaul, and that's a true one, is that he was the tallest in all of Israel. That's exactly how the Navi described him. How is little David going to fit into those clothes? So the Medrash, and as we quoted, the Gemara says, when he put them on, miyad hayu asuyin lo, immediately the garments fit him. Says Rashi, miyad madov nefchuliyot kimadei David. That's what Rashi says here. They became the precise garments of David. Mishenim shar b'shemen anishcha, because since he had been anointed with the oil of anointment. At Shahayu Shol, even though they were Shaul's garments, who was taller than everybody else, from his shoulder up, the Kivan Shirah, Shaul came. When Shaul saw this, Hichnis Bo Ayin Hara. When Shaul saw this, David sensed that he's looking at him with an Ayin Hara. And the Ayin Hara, we don't mean the, you know, a double whammy kind of mystical Ayin Hara. What it means is, David sees that Shaul is visibly shaken by what has happened. Who wouldn't be shaken? All of a sudden, miraculously, he sees that his own garments fit him. I have a number of problems here that, incidentally, I might as well tell you problems that I have that I don't have an answer for. Why should you always think that I have an answer for everything? What occurred to Shaul? How did Shaul think that his garments are going to fit him? But I have a more difficult problem, and this I'm working on. I haven't found an answer for it yet, you know. There is a halacha that says, Ein mishtamshin b'sharbito shel melech. No one is permitted to use that which are the personal use of a king cannot be used by anybody else. And the halacha, it's a Mishnah Masechta, the Sanhedrin, you can't use anything that belongs to a king. That's why there was a custom that when the king died, all of his personal effects were burned, so that nobody should use. Not only that, the halacha is the wife of a king remains an almana forever. She is not permitted to remarry, because no one else is able to find me another word than make use of. Please. Please, huh? Fill his shoes. Oichet, not too great. So I have a halachic problem over here. The halachic problem is, how does Shaul put his clothing on David? I can therefore understand why David doesn't want to wear them. You don't want to wear them. Yes? But then how are we going to understand that he can't walk with them because he had not been proved? If it's his clothing. No, but we're talking about a coat of mail. We're talking about...
Yeah, so he got him one.
Yeah.
He had a storage
room. No, he doesn't have anything. You know, it's going to be fascinating, and this we're going to have to point out now. What did it say as soon as David arrived at the camp? He left everything that he had with the quartermaster. He is only, for some strange reason, and he doesn't understand. You know what he's still walking around with? He has his pouch. He has his sling. Right? He doesn't even know why he took them along with him. I mean, what did he think? What does he need a slingshot for? He's not out with the sheep now. He didn't leave that. For some strange reason, he leaves everything that he has, and all that he has with him is the slingshot, and we'll see a number of other very small items that he has with him. So he certainly wasn't schlepping around with his armor. He doesn't have armor. He doesn't have armor.
He wants to meet the Savior, and there's something going there that makes him... He's
Is, I agree with you. It's possible that he may be, with this act of placing the garments upon David, in some subconscious way, be telling David that the mantle of the kingdom is going to you.
I don't think he needs to tell David. I think he needs to show himself.
All right.
He needs to try to prove David. No. David knows that the mantle is something. He just doesn't know when or how. He knows it's coming. So David.
So then. Let me, will you take a look at chapter 4. In Shmuel, chapter 4, pasuk 12. Yeah, I said 12, yes. I'm taking you back to another story, and that other story is going to be very important right now. There was a battle with the Plishtim. They had sent the ark. The Aron HaKodesh had gone out to battle. Great tragedy happens. Hophni and Pinchas, the two children of Eli, are killed in battle. The Aron is captured, taken into captivity. And 30,000 Jews fall in battle. It was a terrible, it was a black day in Jewish history. And Vayoratz Ish Binyamin Meha Ma'aracha. A man from Binyamin fled from the Ma'aracha. Remember that word. From the battlefield. Vayavo Shiloh Bayomahu, and he arrived in Shiloh on that day. Umadav, his uniform, kruim, torn. Vadamar, Roshoah, and there is earth upon his head. Vayavo, and then the rest of the story, you know, Eli is sitting over there at the entrance to the Mishkan. The man tells him the terrible news. Eli is old, he's feeble, he falls, he breaks his neck, and he dies. And Ish Binyamin fled that day. Who was the Ish Binyamin? The Ish Binyamin is Shaul. And what's happening? And incidentally, in all of Tanakh, the word Matav appears four times. Three of them are with regard to Shaul. And one is with respect to another member of the tribe of Binyamin, Ehud ben Gera. But let's take a closer look at this pasuk. Do you know who it was that captured the ark? You know who captured the ark?
Goliath.
Do you understand? You know what happened that day? The Medrash says, as Goliath took the ark, Shaul grabbed the luchot. Vayaretz, and he fled. The Ish Binyamin. That means, who was the first one to have stood up in confrontation against Goliath? It was Shaul and Goliath. And Shaul is the Ish Binyamin who flees, and Madav, his garments are torn. His Madav are torn. The Medrash says the following. Vayaretz Ish Binyamin, the man of Binyamin, ran on that day, Zer Shaul. Reb Levi, Amar Reb Levi says, Shishimil Holach Shaul Bioto Yom, 60 miles on that day. B'marochahaya, he was out on the battlefield, V'shomo Shenishbu HaLuchot, and he heard that the Luchot had been captured. V'holach V'chotfon Miyad Goliath, he went and he grabbed them from the hand of Goliath, and he came to Shiloh. V'rabbonon Amri, the rabbis say, 180 miles he ran that day. How do you understand what's happening? The same Madim. Those Madim were extremely important to him because those garments represented his great victory over Goliath that day. He repaired his garments, and those are the garments now that he gives to David. Is it possible that he's giving it to David because he now sees he's not going to be the one who's going to stand up against Goliath? He once had the ability to do it. He was once the one who stood up against Goliath. He can't do it now. No more. The one who's going to stand up against him now is going to be David and not Shaul. So that Madov over here is Shaul.
I was really answering your question. The Madov over here are shawls. It's nobody else's. It's not David. It's not David. I didn't even know that I'd need that medrash to answer your question, but your question made the medrash so much more meaningful. The same Madav.
So it's almost the same Madav. It says the Madav were torn when he went to Egypt. So is it representative almost of the fact that David really doesn't have any Madim? He's really torn also?
Wait. Before you go, let me tell you, as you ask questions, I'm going to feed you the information. The Targum says, Targum Yonatan Ben Uziel, when Shmuel anoints Shaul, and he says to him, but after he tells him that on that day, as you will leave from me, you're going to meet two people, then you're going to meet three people, then you're going to meet a group of prophets, and then when you feel the Spirit of God coming upon you, do whatever it is that you want, because God is with you, says Targum Yonatan, repair your garments of kingdom. Understand? It seems that Targum Yonatan is saying that when you know that you're going to be Melech, when you feel this coming upon you, take those garments, because those garments were two things. Those garments represented, number one, they represented his great victory, and they also represented mourning. Who tore the garments? He tore the garments. Why did he tear the garments? Why did he tear his garments? Because the aron was taken, and now he repairs the garments. Because that Malchus means he's going to repair the garments. In a sense, the Madim of Shaul are like the Me'il of Shmuel. The Me'il of Shmuel goes with him from the beginning of life until the end. These are the Madim that have gone with Shaul. Well, this is that's why you were here by the garment share. Yeah, I mean, that's why garments over here represent. Remember what garments represent? Garments represent the. We were saying that clothing makes the man, but depends what kinds of clothing. Are they clothing that cover and conceal man's faults, or are they clothing that are a definition and a description of the grandeur and the majesty of man? You'll have to listen over to that tape. I'll tell you, I have to listen over to that tape. All right. So what happens over here, it's really at this point that Shaul already, he knows, but what he knows now, he's going to be forever trying to put into the back of his mind. He knows, but the same thing that he knows, he does not want to, he doesn't want to accept it. So here it is, he puts the clothing onto David. David, Vayoel Lelechet. So the word Vayoel, we said, can mean he wants or he doesn't want. The truth is that if you put the two meanings of Vayoel together, what does it leave you with? A person who is in doubt. He wants and he doesn't want. He's ambivalent. Exactly. He is ambivalent. And as we say, why is he ambivalent? He's ambivalent because he sees what happens to Shaul after he puts on those garments. The torn garments are there's something else about the torn garments. Later on, you know the story that David is going to come upon Shaul while he's sleeping in a cave, and he's going to cut his garment. A cut garment, right? A torn garment, says the Medrash. Amalo Shaul. Shaul said to David, after he tore his garment, he said, Ato hine yodati, now I know ki moloch timloch. Then he's going to say it openly to him. I know that you're going to be king. Says the Medrash, me no yada, how did he know that he was going to be a king? Because Shmuel had told Shaul in the last chapter, Kora Hashem, God has torn the kingdom from you and has given it to your friend who is better than you. Amalo Shaul, so Shaul said to Shmuel, Mi huzeh, who is going to be the one who will take the kingdom from me? Amalo, eini omer lecha. I'm not going to tell you. El remez ani romez lecha. I'm going to give you a hint. The hint is, Mishu korea et mi'ilcha, the one who's going to tear your garment, atid litol malchutcha, he's the one who's going to take your kingdom. in a sense, it's those same garments, the garments he wore on the day that he overpowered Goliath, and now who is it that he wants to place those garments upon? He wants to place them upon David. Let's finish the pasuk 39. Vayomer David el Shaul, David said to Shaul, Lo uchal alechad ba'ela, I cannot go with these. Kiloni siti, I've never had the experience. By Yisidem, David me'alav, and David removed them. We've been pointing out throughout this chapter that we have to be aware of words. There's a word here, bo'ela, that appears only one other place in Tanakh. It'll blow your mind. Tanakh is a pretty big place. The word bo'ela appears ve'ela. This is bo'ela. Precisely, we have to have the same word. Not be'ela, not bu'ela, bo'ela. It's in the last chapter. When Shmuel is standing in the house of Yishai, and he goes through six sons, and God says, Lo bochar Hashem bo'ela. God has not chosen these. Bo'ela represents that which is rejected from being king. Lo uchal olechet, I cannot go with these. These clothes belong to somebody who has been rejected from being king. Lo bakar Hashem ba'ele. So the same word appears twice in Tanakh, both here, one in the chapter before and one in this chapter. There's a message that David is Lo bakar Hashem ba'ele. This clothing no longer belongs to a person who is king. But I say, it may also be that David doesn't want to wear it because David feels he shouldn't wear the clothing of a king. That's another point. Told me out. I was thinking that in a sense there's something coercive about Shaul placing it upon David. Maybe David doesn't want it altogether. I'm saying maybe he doesn't want it because la halacha, but I say this is something that I am investigating. I'm looking at. Somebody has to talk about this. There has to be a halachic resolution for this problem. We'll take one more pasuk in order that we get into the real struggle that's going to take place. Now we're moving from the Shaul-David confrontation. Now comes the confrontation of Goliath and David. And this in and of itself is something that we know that artists of all time have tried to depict it. I think most probably since childhood we have this picture of a little David over there and the big Goliath. Vayikach maklo biyado. He took his staff in his hand. He still had that he still had with him. Vayivchalo chamisha chaluki avoni min hanachal, and he chose five smooth stones from the riverbed. Vayosam oto bekli haroim ashelo, in the pouch. Ashelo uba yaukut. I imagine the pouch was part of a pocket of a larger backpack, a side pack. I don't know. Why do I say side pack? Because I think all of the artwork on shows him that some kind of a purse hanging from his arm, from his shoulder. Mikal obiado, and his slingshot is in his hand. Vayigash el haplishti, and he came over to the plishti. Every word in this pasuk is going to be important. I just want to read one medrash, and with that we'll close for this week. And the topic for next week is going to be the David Goliath confrontation. The chamisha chalukei avonim, five stones. Lama chamisha, says the Radak, brings it from the Medrash Shmuel. Echad l'shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one represents the name of God. Ve'echad l'shmo shel Aaron, one of them represents the name of Aaron. U'shlosha l'shlosha avot ha'olam, and three, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God said, V'chilo l'panai chedef v'gedef, he did not shame and embarrass me? Didn't he come out there for 40 days and embarrass me? Olai l'froa mimenu, one shot for me. I have to punish him. Amar Aaron, Aaron said, V'lichilo goel hadamani, am I not the avenger? He killed Chofni and Pinchas, right? Olai lefro emimenu, I'm the one that has to make certain that he suffers. Amru ha'avos, the avos said, V'chilo aleinu lefro emimenu, shecheder v'gideif marachot alukim, u'pikesh lakor banenu, this man has shamed and blasphemed God, he wants to destroy our children, the lakor toratam, he wants to uproot their Torah, which is their life. So therefore, David is going to go out as the representative of God, Aaron, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. There are going to be other fascinating midrashim over here. We will leave that in Mi'at Hashem for next week. By the way,